Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. We're talking about excelling in the grace of giving. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You know, we are encouraged to excel, to go above and beyond, and to be excellent in our giving.
Right.
I mean, some of us learn from a young age to be excellent in our receiving, right? in our right. Getting. But there comes a point in time where your maturity in God and your growth in the Lord says, listen, I understand that this is how it works, that I need to honor God, of course, with my tithe, but that I can participate and I can partner with God and I can partner with those that are advancing the kingdom of God by giving. Mm-hmm. And that out of my overflow, out of the blessing of what God's blessed me with, I can take a portion of that and give that towards what God is doing. And I love what he says that, you know, God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And he will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Listen, God will bless us with the ability to sow seed, and he'll also bless us with the resources. What is that seed? That seed is money. That seed is what we get from our jobs and from our labor. He'll give us enough so that we can have a portion of it to take care of our families, to take care of the bills that you have, to take care of the things that you got to take care of as part of life, right? Mm-hmm. But then a portion of that is so that we can have some seeds, we can have opportunity to have financial resources to give into what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so awesome. He says, listen, if you continue to do this, I will not only bless you, but I will also keep supplying you with seed. Mm-hmm. I will keep supplying you with money to sow in what God's doing. And on top of that, I will increase your store of seed. Mm-hmm. And this really blows me away. This really just, I mean, if that wasn't good enough, says you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. When you think about America and you think about the blessings, every person in America is rich. We're not talking about, you know, millions of dollars. No, you're rich. Listen. America is 5% of the world's population, and yet we consume, I think, I believe, 95% of the world's resources. Mm. The poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European. And so we're blessed, we're rich in America. And God says, you'll be made rich. Why? So that you can continue to sow and give and do into God's kingdom, so that generosity will overflow. And God will take care of, you know, all of your needs. But this is the cool thing when giving, and I like to just encourage you in this, because maybe you've excelled in so many aspects in your walk with God and in life, but maybe this is an area where you can't, you know, say with confidence that I've excelled in this area by the grace of God, of course, that you have stepped past a place of it being about me, let's say, but saying, you know what, I want to have something that's invested in God, something that lasts eternal. And this is what's pretty cool, what happens is when you start giving and sowing into what God's doing, mm-hmm. that your direct money that you're giving towards God and towards the advancement of his kingdom, that will ultimately result in somebody giving thanks and glory to God. And how do they do that? They do that by saying, you know, you gave towards this, and someone, let's say the VFN radio program. You said, I want to be able to give to the VFN radio program. Well, listen, what's happening right now at this very moment is being shared all across the world.
That's right.
You know, we have over 2,000 highlights on the VFN torch. And 24/7, 7 days a week, these words of encouragement, of light, are being broadcast across the world. That's just one way.
Mm-hmm.
But as you continue to do that to the advancement of God's kingdom, people are being touched, people are being ministered to, mm-hmm. people are being healed, and they're saying, God, thank you. God, thank you. And when I got a revelation of that, that my giving could do that, I said, Lord, I want enough people. I want people to be able to thank you and glorify you. And if me giving towards this work, if me giving towards advancing your kingdom can do that, that's what I want to be all about. And I'll tell you, if there ever was a time, if there ever was a time to invest in the kingdom of God, let me tell you, it certainly would be now.
Mm.
Because it's just, I mean, everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
That's right.
So that what cannot be shaken will remain.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to remain is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's all about what God is doing on the face of the earth. There's a lot of hope that God wants to bring to the world, but it's just not going to happen. It requires those that love him, those that know him, to step on out and share the gospel, to share the good news. But oftentimes that takes resources, it takes finances, and we can all partner. Listen, maybe you may not be able to go to Bangladesh. Maybe you may not be able to go to Iran. Maybe you're not able to go to different places in your own community as much as you would like to. Let's say feed the hungry or feed the poor as much as you would like to share a word, but you can't at the moment. Your finances sowed in the kingdom can. So I want to encourage you, as you excel in all these different areas of your life, excel in this grace of giving. Because listen, God can empower you. On your own, you can't do it, but God can empower you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And kind of four things that I like to think about when I give. The first thing I like to think about is how much God has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much God has done for you. There's a song that says, when I think about the Lord and what he's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about all the blessings. Think about how God has kept you and your marriage and is giving you that job. And when it was all said and done, God intervened and pulled you out. And when your child was sick and when they said you could have no child, you know, and when you were just about to get evicted, you know, when there was a time in your life where there was no food, where the power company was coming to cut it off,
mm-hmm.
and your car was not moving because they either took your car or your car was just sitting in your driveway because it was broke. It was broke down. But God made a way where there was no way. When you review your life and you say, my goodness, but God, but God, but God, and there's testimony after testimony after testimony of how God showed up and just blessed your socks off, that really helps us. It really helps to put things into perspective how good God has been. So one of the things I encourage you to think about what God has already done.
Mm-hmm.
I often say this, that if God didn't do a single thing for me for the rest of my life, he's done enough.
That's right.
If he stopped today, I would spend the rest of this life and all of eternity just living a thank you for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
You can too.
Right.
The second thing is to think about what God is presently doing. Because oftentimes that gets overlooked. That's why it's important again to abide and spend time with the Lord and to journal and write down what God is doing in your present life today, how he's blessing your family today, how he's blessing your ministry today, how he's blessing your health in so many areas. What is he doing today?
Mm-hmm.
The third thing to think about when you give is to really have an understanding and a revelation. My giving is going to result in someone being touched by the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
that my giving is directly connected with someone, with someone's growth in the Lord, whether it be through a healing, whether it be through a teaching, whether it be through so many different ways. We can list countless ways, an encouragement, a word, a teaching, a discipleship moment. I mean, you can go on and on and on, but that my giving was directly resulted in that. I love that. I can't wait. I can't wait to be in heaven to see how $1 connected to this person, to that person. I mean, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just amazing. And I'm looking forward to that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, I want to store my treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a bunch of funerals, and one thing that I have noticed, Chris, mm-hmm. I have noticed when they're pulling away in the hearse
mm-hmm.
and it's all said and done,
mm-hmm.
I don't see a U-Haul behind any of those hearse. I've never seen one.
Not sure. One.
Not one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take any of this stuff with you.
Mm-mm.
And personally, I'm going to just be honest with you. I don't want to be earthly rich and be heaven poor. I don't want treasures in this world. I like what Mike Bickle says. He says, it's not that I don't like rewards. He goes, I just want them in heaven. I don't want, you know, it's cool. I don't mind being blessed here, but I really, 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 really want to be blessed in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to live for. You want to live for eternity. So you want to think about how that blessing is going to result in praise and thanksgiving to God. And I think that's just so cool how those two things connect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're giving with someone being touched, and then that person has no idea that someone made it possible, and they're praising God because I gave $25, $50, $100, $1,000. Oh my goodness!
Right.
You know, God's getting glory out of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is beautiful.
Right.
Makes me want to do it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the fourth thing is to think about that God says, "Listen, give." This is what the Word of God says. This is so powerful. It's very, very, very encouraging, and I believe it's in Luke. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, listen to that. Wait a minute. Let me back up here. This is what the Word of God says. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed, packed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Mm.
Listen, I have countless personal encounters with God, and how this is so true in my own personal life. I mean, God has so blessed me. I just shared this recently. But I won't let the glory of God get stale. I'll share it with you as we're on VFN Radio, because it's just the power of God. I remember I was a young believer in the Lord, and someone was taking up an offering. And one of the things he said, he was a Messianic Jew, means he was a Jewish, but he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking up an offering, and he said, I want to take up an extravagant offering this morning. You know, they were doing something and ministry work, and he says, I'd like for you to give extravagantly. Now, I've never heard that before. I'm sitting there, I thought, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm listening. And he begins to start talking, and it really made so much sense to me. He says, listen, when you didn't know God, and this is, I'm not talking about hype or nothing like that, but this is a sincere, you know, teaching moment he's sharing. He says, when you didn't know God, you spend extravagantly. I mean, you partied hard. When you think about just the dollars that went to partying and just alcohol, if that's what was your thing, and just
mm-hmm.
money that has been spent on vain beautification,
mm-hmm.
cosmetic products and clothing and just all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, And I thought to myself, when I didn't know God, I said, you know, God, I wasted a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of nothing of, you know, taking a trip and just burning, you know, hundreds of dollars on a weekend or whatever it was. In particular, when I was in college, I was a college student at the time, you know, and just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even
Cross your mind.
Cross my mind. Mm-mm. And I was just burning it, you know, mm-hmm. just spending it. And I said, Lord, I don't, you know, I'm having this moment, you know, me and God. I don't know if I've ever given extravagant to you. I don't know if I've ever given to you where it hurt. I mean, I don't know if I've done that. Now, I've given before where it has hurt me now. You know who I've given it to? When I've gotten speeding tickets before. You know what I'm saying? He's like, ooh, that hurt. You know, it's amazing how, you know, you know, I didn't have it before to give when I was young. I'm talking some years ago now. That I didn't have it to give then.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. But when you got pulled over and you got a speeding ticket, you sure have to pay them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they're normally not cheap. In fact, I just found out in Skamby County, $456 if you're speeding in a school zone. Be careful. You want to drive the speed limit. But think about that. So I've given extravagant to different things before, but at that time of my life, and I'm talking just, you know, decades actually ago, I had not given extravagantly to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to participate in that. So I remember that this is the first time that I heard someone say what he said, and I've never heard it since. And it has been over, like I said, it has to be over 15, 17 years ago, maybe even 20. But he says, I want you to close your eyes. He was following the Lord. He says, I want you to close your eyes, and the Lord's going to just give you a number of what to give tonight. I said, hey, I'm game, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was prepared to give an offering. I think like $20 or something, you know. And mm-hmm. oftentimes people do that. It's like, you know, well, I'll just tip God. It's like, well, wait a minute. Ask God what he'll have you to give. And so I closed my eyes, and I am so serious, guys. I saw, I mean, like bright lights, mm-hmm. $200. That's what I saw. I mean, like, you know,
right.
It was like a light, you know, a light sign, if you will. You know what I mean? It was just like.
Neon light.
And there you go, neon light. I'm trying to think what it was. it was so real to me, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess because I was just participating with the Lord as he's teaching, and I'm just talking to the Lord and praying, and, you know, and I closed my eyes. I thought, are you sure that was $200, not $20? I closed my eyes, and I'm trying to look for where that decimal point was.
Right. Where's that decimal point at?
And it was $200. And at that time of my life, I was in college. I had, you know, I believe it or not, I had little monies put aside. I was going to buy a computer, and I was so prepared to sew something. I didn't sew anything at all, guys. It was just so shocked me what I had just encountered. I didn't give anything.
Oh wow!
Well, the whole weekend, as I was going the whole weekend, I remember that, you know, the Lord was just speaking to me in my abiding time. He was speaking to me as I was traveling, and just reminding me of all God had done in my life. I mean, I had just got saved. I mean, I just got radically touched by the Lord. I mean, he's like, everything that I've done for you and all the money you spent out in the world. And, mm-hmm. you know, I remember, you know, buying, you know, $80 jeans and just junk, you know, just spending, you know how you do it, just burn money away, you know, mm-hmm. just whatever,
right.
You know, because, you know, that's what people did, you know. I had no sense, you know what I'm saying, before God.
All right.
And I pray for the sense that I have today. And I said, God, you know, you're so right. You've done so much in my life. I want to do this. I want to give, you know, like this, beyond my ability. And so that next Sunday morning, I wrote out my offering. I wrote out a check. And in the memo, I put for Friday's offering. That's what I did. For Friday. And I just sewed. Well, would you believe that sometime later, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. Now, I was a college student at the time. Mm-hmm. I was just graduating from college. I was eating popcorn for dinner. Okay, you know what I'm saying? And I remember telling a buddy of mine, I says, I'm going to Israel. And he's like, with what? You know, like, you ain't going nowhere. You know, right. we're
trying with your good looks.
Yeah, not... You know, you ain't going nowhere. I'm like, no, I'm going to Israel. Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to know of just how God so blessed and just did a miracle there. Not almost like thousands of dollars. Like, I think it was like over $2,500.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Israel. It was thousands.
It's not cheap.
No, it was airfare. I mean, it was this trip that a bunch of the church was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was like 10 days in Israel. 10 days. It was an extended trip.
Right.
And... Wouldn't you believe that all of the funds? I mean, it was just like a supernatural thing, because I didn't even come up with it. I actually just shared it with some folks that I wanted to go to Israel, and God just started performing this miracle. People just started. They didn't give it to me. They just gave it to this person that wanted to bless me with this trip. I had no interaction in this thing. All I had was a desire to go, and I shared it. That's all I did. And before you know it, my trip was taken care of. I had money to get some clothes, because, you know, I was wearing T-shirts and shorts to college. So I needed to get some clothes for my classes. I needed some clothes to go out there. I got me some clothes. I had spending money. And I still came back with like $75 in traveler's checks. And I tried to spend, you know, bought my mama stuff, you know what I'm saying? I bought everybody. This is from the Holy Land. This is from Israel. I spent all this money out there, and I still came back with $75. And the Lord reminded me, that it was 9 months, 9 months of the day, that 9 months that I had gave that offering. And the Lord showed me my abiding time, how those two things were connected. Mm-hmm. How those, because the seed was like $200, and then the trip was like over $2,300, and the Lord, and it was a Jewish person that was actually taking the offering, which is all these, you know, awesome connections. But that's just one of so many. I mean, I couldn't even afford to eat when I was in college, practically. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And where was I going to come up with over $3,000, because I had to get a passport. I mean, just so many little expenses you don't think about. It wound up being close to $3,000, and it was an opportunity that literally changed my entire life when I went out there to Israel. I turned 22 in Masada, and it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's directly a result of God just taking care of you. And there's so many, many opportunities and ways that I had throughout my life, and a lot of people do. But if you trust God and you give God what belongs to Him, and I'm talking about His tithe and just honor Him, and you begin to start giving God sacrificially and giving beyond your ability, you're going to see God, you're going to see two things. Not only people are going to be blessed by your giving, and they're going to praise God for it, but you're going to see your own life be blessed. Your own life. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you to excel in this grace of giving and watch God do amazing and powerful things. Invest in the kingdom, because what can be shaken will be shaken. And when it all comes down, you're going to be so glad that you invested in the only thing that will remain, and that's the kingdom of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called the Nazi Master Plan: The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about excelling in the grace of giving, excelling in the grace of being a blessing to God and the kingdom of God. And one of the things I want to share is we just kind of moving off of talking about this is we're not talking about what some have distorted this truth about giving. You know, I mean, listen, you know, God's not a slot machine. You know, mm-hmm. God's not, you know, you can't put in a couple coins and seven come 11. And
right.
We're not talking about manipulating God. We're talking mm-hmm. about a biblical principle mm-hmm. that it's in God's word. I mean, God himself was an extravagant giver. He gave us his son. Mm-hmm. And that's really how you want to live your life. It just, in always, you want your life, you want to give your life 100% to God. And you want to constantly be giving of yourself, mm-hmm. of your resources. I mean, I think about the book of Acts, that they brought everything to the apostles' feet. They gave everything, and that no one amongst them had lack. And that's what God wants. He wants equality among us, among the church. He doesn't want someone to be, you know, superly over the top blessed, and you have someone that's starving to eat. He's like, that's not right. That's not godly. You know, we need to be able to refresh others so that everyone amongst us, all of God's people, right, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, right? And we even want to bless those that don't know him. He says, even bless the alien. He says, listen, when you're picking up your crops, leave a couple of that stuff behind. Don't be so, you know, greedy and pull everything off. Leave some of that stuff behind so that people can come and glean off of those crops and those that are unfortunate can be blessed. Mm-hmm. So that's we're definitely not talking about maybe some of the things you may have heard. You know, God's not a slot machine. He's not. He's no, to be he's honored and to be feared and to respect. But we are talking about the principle of giving, where Paul takes two chapters out in 2 Corinthians to really, you know, God uses Paul to encourage us that God can give us a grace. And that's the whole thing, because giving needs to be done from your heart. Not because you've been manipulated, not out of compulsion or obligatory. You know, I just, what I got to do, I've got to pay my taxes, my tithe. No. God loves a cheerful giver.
That's right.
That's what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. And out of gratitude, we want to give towards the things of God because we want to see more people being touched, being empowered, being their lives totally changed. And we can do that just by simply giving. So we want to encourage you to excel in this grace. And the this is the thing about giving. The more you do it, the more easier it becomes, right? Mm-hmm. And the more it mm-hmm. becomes contagious. You just want to do it. You just want to do it, and you want to see so many people get blessed, and mm-hmm. you want to see the kingdom of God advance.
Right, because I remember years ago, you know, you talking to me about, you know, God wants to give to you to get it through you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, like you were saying, it's not about, you know, gaining all these things, all these yeah. possessions, all this money. It's like, no, that's not what God wants you to do with it. He wants to give it to you to get it through you to bless others.
Mm. You know, that's so true, because God, you know, God blesses you with a job. He blesses you with an increase. Mm-hmm. He gave you the ability to get the degree or the skill set or the knowledge, and he's promoting you. He's giving mm-hmm. you a place where you can not only earn an amazing living to take care of your family. Like I said, you live in America. You're blessed. You're already, you know, filthy rich just by living in America. But he didn't just give you this stuff so that you can keep it for yourself. The Word of God just says you will be made rich mm-hmm. so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's why you were made rich. You were made rich so that you can buy more toys and things and stuff. But just like you said, God wants to get it to you so that he can get it through you. Mm-hmm. That's why they call it currency, because it keeps flowing.
Right.
But if God's just blessing you and you're holding it down, the blessing can't continue to flow. And it's just so powerful. It's awesome that you shared that, Chris, because it just reminded me that, you know, there's so many people that are walking in the blessing of God, mm-hmm. but they've held on to the blessing.
Yeah.
They haven't passed the blessing along. Mm-hmm. And it's time to do that. I mean, it's so time to do that, and it's so encouraging when we do, mm-hmm. because we see the so many people being refreshed, mm-hmm. ministered to, encouraged, and their lives absolutely change mm-hmm. when we just do what God's told us to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we want to talk in God's News Behind the News a little bit about what has been happening in Egypt. My goodness. I mean, guys, have you seen this? I mean, last week it started off with just maybe 80 folks, and before you know it, there's hundreds of people that have died in Egypt over these protests, over what's happening with the new president in Egypt, because, you know, Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood was taken out, and the people just totally said, listen, we don't want that, you know, we don't want this form of government, we don't want you know, the Muslim Brotherhood in charge, which, you know, this administration really empowered them to be in positions of power. And now there's a coup, and they don't want to call it a coup because the United States gives Egypt basically $1.6 billion, and a lot of it goes to the military, but a lot of it goes to have peace with Israel there. And so if they call it a coup, they can't really give them the money, so they're not calling it a coup. They're not. But what's happening is that the Muslim Brotherhood now are protesting. And they are, I mean, you're seeing hundreds of people being killed. And who they're killing right now? They're killing Christians.
Wow.
I mean, there's numbers. And hopefully we can attach this for you on the torch. But there are just constant churches that are being attacked. Christians are being killed. Church buildings, facilities are being burnt down to the ground. And I want you to listen to this special report from CBN as they share some insight of what's happening. This is live. This is what's happening like now in Egypt.
On assignment, we begin in Egypt, where Christians are facing vicious attacks. Angry mobs have hit more than 50 churches and destroyed at least 20. The mobs are supporters of the deposed Islamic president, Mohamed Morsi. One Egyptian scholar says it's the worst violence against the Coptic church since the 14th century. The Coptic pope is in hiding, and most churches have canceled Sunday services. Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell has the details.
Some called it Black Wednesday, the day when Muslim Brotherhood supporters stormed, looted, and burned churches and Christian organizations throughout Egypt.
We call on those who are protesting to do so peacefully and condemn the attacks that we've seen by protesters, including on churches.
Cell phone video shows Morsi supporters storming St. George's Church in Sohag. The riot has not only damaged the outside of the church, but once inside, they set fire to pews and burned piles of Bibles. It was the same story across Egypt.
They're burning the Bible. I mean, think about this. They're burning the Bible, And you see two sides here. I mean, just when the military, not long ago, it was reported that they mistakenly burned some Qurans and not realizing they were getting rid of stuff. I mean, there was all sorts of protests, all kinds of stuff that was happening. Mm-hmm. And here you have the burning of the Bibles, burning the buildings. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. When you're looking at radicalism in Islam, and remember, it's JJ, it's the Jews and the Christians. I mean, I want you to continue to listen up to what CBN is sharing, because you're going to get more enlightenment. You're listening to the VFN radio.
Egypt, in Assayut, St. Teresa's church was set on fire. In Suez, a Franciscan school was targeted. In Minya, rioters burned the YMCA building and damaged a nunnery at St. Joseph's church. CBN News talked with Ramez Atala, the head of the Bible Society in Egypt, whose two shops were destroyed.
We've been around for 129 years, and this is the first time any Bible Society office or bookshop has been attacked.
Yet Atala vowed they'd rebuild.
So we're not going to be cowed by this. We're not going to let it stop us, and we're going to go back to business as soon as we can. We already spoke to our architect and contractor today, and as soon as things settle down a little bit, we're going to start the renovation, and we're not going to wait.
Atala told CBN News the government pledged to rebuild and restore the churches and Christian businesses destroyed by the Muslim Brotherhood supporters. After the mayhem, the International Prayer Council issued an urgent prayer request for Egyptian Christians. It read in part, "Please pray with our Egyptian brothers and sisters in Christ for his purposes to be accomplished for their land at this time of crisis. Pray for their protection amidst the maelstrom of violent confrontation and for the authorities to have wisdom and restraint in reestablishing order, and that many find hope and salvation in Jesus Christ." Many say the prayer request is especially urgent in light of the Muslim Brotherhood's call for a day of rage. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Raymond Ibrahim joins us now by Skype. He is CBN News' analyst and the author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Raymond, you write that the anti-Christian fury of some Islamists in Egypt has taken on, quote, genocidal proportions. Those are your words. I mean, this is serious, right?
This is very serious. If you listen to what the Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood supporters and the jihadis, the hatred for and contempt for Christians was always there. Now add to that the idea that they are, you know, advancing, all these Islamist leaders, that the cops are the ones who are responsible for the ousting of the Muslim Brotherhood. And you can begin to understand why there is so much now hate and rage amongst many Muslims and Islamists, basically. But it has indeed reached genocidal proportions, because you listen to them and they say things like, "We're going to wipe you out." Well, that's genocide. And we're seeing it on the ground. I mean, where else in the world can you see so many churches that are being attacked?
Why is the Muslim Brotherhood targeting them and blaming them for the ouster of Mohamed Morsi?
Because they are very easy targets to scapegoat. They are the non-Muslim infidel enemy. They can be scapegoated for anything. But the Muslim Brotherhood, obviously, is going to have a difficulty explaining that the vast majority of the people, who those 30-plus million who actually all around Egypt went out protesting and calling for the ouster of the Brotherhood and Morsi, they have a hard time explaining that most of those people were Muslims. And so instead of getting into this difficult situation where they have to admit that fellow Muslims themselves don't want the Muslim Brotherhood and Mercy, the easy way out is to just point the finger at the Christians and at the cops, because they're, of course, non-Muslims anyway. And we can imagine they, of course, don't want the Muslim Brotherhood. And so it must, of course, be all their fault. Ayman Zawahiri, the leader of Al-Qaeda, came out in a video. And the first person he blamed, as have the Brotherhood, is the Pope, Pope Tawadros II. And he said that the Pope was leading a new crusade under the banner of the United States.
This is the Egyptian Pope you're talking about here.
Yeah, the Coptic Pope, Pope Tawadros II, that he was leading a crusade to turn Egypt into a Christian nation.
During Mubarak's 30 years, it was not an easy time for Christians. Clearly, after the revolution, it was bad. It got worse in the last year under Morsi's rule. And now it's even worse. I mean, this is a no-win situation for Christians in Egypt, right?
So now the Muslim Brotherhood is gone, and that's supposed to be good. But then, of course, they retaliate by attacking Christians and making them miserable. And at the same time, the military can't intervene too much, because the more it helps the Christians and the churches, the more the Islamists will point to regular Muslims and say, see, we told you. They're all, you know, they're trying to turn Egypt into a Christian nation. Look, they have loyalty to Christians more than they have loyalty to Islam. And so it's a very terrible situation for them. And this is precisely how a nation like Egypt went from being a Coptic Christian majority nation over a course of a millennium to what we see right now, where they're just a small, harried minority.
Raymond Ibrahim, he writes a blog called Islam Unveiled, and he has a book called Crucified Again. Sir, thank you for your insights.
What you're listening to is exactly, does this not sound familiar?
Wow.
The reason that the Muslim Brotherhood is attacking Christians, I mean, they fail to recognize, they don't want to acknowledge that it was other Muslims that did not want the Muslim Brotherhood to be in charge. They didn't want Morsi to be in charge. They didn't want to recognize that. It was a whole lot easier and acceptable to blame the Christians who had
nothing to do with it.
Yeah. But to blame the Christians, and they wanted to attack them and get them out of there, kill them. Mm-hmm. Sounds awfully familiar to what happened in Germany with a guy named Hitler, who wanted to blame everything on the Jews, and they're the problem, and let's get rid of them, and 6 million of them, 6 million, were killed. They were taken to the gas chambers. They were put in furnaces. Mm. Don't think that that can't happen today to Christians. It's happening today to Christians. It's happening right now. And we can't stay silent, and we can't close our eyes if it's not happening. We can't say that because it's happening in another country and it's not happening here. Listen, some are reporting that if this doesn't get contained, it could very easily be the beginning of maybe even a global war. That all the countries will get involved. I mean, you're talking about huge, huge unrest. Now you've got on the southern part this total uprising that's occurring in Egypt on the other side of Israel, and on towards the eastern side, you still have what's going on in Syria, where there's over 100,000 people now that have been killed and slaughtered during the civil war. You've got Russia supporting, you know, Assad. You have the United States supporting al-Qaeda rebels.
Crazy.
And you have all these, you know, chemical weapons that can get in the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is one, you know, at any given day, this domino can just sit and fall and just go right over. And so we want to join prayers for our brothers and sisters. You want to listen to JJ. We're going to make that related on the torch for you, because it's attack on Jews and Christians. And we want to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. And this is the prayer that the International Prayer Council put out. It's an urgent prayer request, and it says this: please pray with our Egyptian brothers and sisters in Christ for his purpose to be accomplished for their land at this time of crisis. Pray for their protection amidst the maelstrom of violent confrontation, and for the authorities to have wisdom and restraint in reestablishing order, and also that many will find hope and salvation in Jesus Christ.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. When just before we went to break, we're talking about what's happening in Egypt and how right now the Muslim Brotherhood is rioting and they're attacking Christians and blaming Christians for what everyone in the region knows and everyone around the world knows, that it's other Muslims that did not want the Muslim Brotherhood in charge and did not want Morsi in charge of Egypt. But they're not attacking them. They're attacking Christians, and they're burning down church buildings. 20 of them have been utterly destroyed. Mm-hmm. They've burnt Bibles, and they're killing them. They want to remove them completely, and it's the same exact thing that Hitler was doing in Germany when he was trying to exterminate the Jews. Blamed everything on the Jews. Well, listen, we can't forget not only about the Christians, our brothers and sisters, but we also can't forget about the apple of God's eye in Israel, and to see that this has been a long, worn-out strategy. And we have a video that we want to share with you from Prager University, where they talk specifically about how the UN has been used, really by the enemy, to come against Israel. I mean, there's a strategy. If you didn't know this, you'd be surprised. You'd listen like, is this for real? But there's a strategy being waged, and this video is an unveiling. It's kind of showing you exactly what is happening so that we can be educated, we can share with others, and we can certainly pray. Listen up, Prager University.
There are 193 countries in the United Nations today. Of these, one has been singled out as an especially egregious offender of the organization's mandate to preserve and enhance human freedom and tolerance. Can you guess which it is? It has about 7 million citizens, of whom a fifth are Arab. The government is vibrantly democratic, its press wide open, and religious freedom fully respected. Women have equal rights and gays live openly. The answer is Israel. Here are some facts. 38% of all the resolutions of the United Nations Human Rights Council, the UN's top human rights body, that are critical of specific countries have been directed at Israel alone. The Council has a permanent agenda that governs every regular session. This agenda is composed of 10 items, one of which is always reserved for criticizing Israel. Between 2006, when the Council was created, and 2012, it published 48 reports condemning Israel. During that same period, there were 9 reports on Syria's mass killings and torture of its own citizens, 3 on Iran's genocide-threatening regime, and not one on, for example, China, which denies more than 1 billion people elementary freedoms. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. So we are faced with a choice. Either there's something very wrong with Israel that I'm not telling you about, or there's something very wrong with the United Nations that you should know about. Let's look into the history of both. First, Israel. Ever since its establishment, voted for by the United Nations, by the way, in 1948, Israel has had to fight its neighbors solely in order to survive. It has endured innumerable acts of terrorism, the most intense from 2000 to 2005, the so-called Second Intifada, in which children and other innocents were blown up in places like pizza parlors and buses and at weddings. It still suffers from rocket attacks against civilians from the Gaza Strip, which is controlled by a terror group, Hamas, whose stated reason for existence is to destroy Israel. Israel has developed a strong military and a web of security fences and walls to protect itself. Do these security measures cause hardships to people who must deal with this network? Yes, they do. Israel would like nothing better than to tear all these fences and walls down. But bitter experience informs it as to what would happen if it did. Is Israel a perfect country? Of course not. But it is one of the freest and most open societies in the world. That's Israel's history. Here's the UN's. In 1949, when the UN admitted Israel as a member state, the UN had 58 member countries and a clear democratic and pro-Western orientation. Today, the UN has 193 member countries, most of which are not even free. Among its many negative changes, the UN changed the principle of self-determination from a post-World War II, post-Holocaust human rights principle to a tool to wield against the West, especially against Israel. The Palestinians became the very paradigm of the oppressed, and Israel became the great oppressor. This reached its fullest expression at the notorious Durban Conference, held in South Africa in 2001. The Durban Conference was billed as a UN world conference against racism and intolerance, but it turned into an orgy of anti-Israel and anti-Jew propaganda. Of all the bad actors in the world, the final Durban Declaration found one state guilty of racial discrimination. You guessed it, Israel. The Durban Declaration, however, remains to this day the centerpiece of the UN's allegedly anti-racism agenda. There's only one country in the world whose very legitimacy is questioned. Only one country that is openly threatened with annihilation. That country is Israel. And what has the United Nations done about it? Worse than nothing. It has itself become a global platform for anti-Semitism and the destruction of the Jewish state. I'm Ann Bayefsky, director of the Turo Human Rights Institute for Prager University.
Isn't that amazing? What you're seeing is an all-out attack on Israel by the UN. It's 193 nations. And for one nation to be singled out repeatedly, over and over and over again. I mean, come on, catch a clue.
Amazing.
38% of all human rights violations have to do with Israel? What, really? Really? They combat enemies. We've talked often about living in the crosshairs of Israel. Israel lives in the crosshairs of their enemies.
Right.
And they constantly live with any day with a cloud over them that they can be attacked and killed on any given day. This should not be.
Mm-mm.
This should not be. And listen, I think it's time to get the UN completely out of the United States, for the United States to get out
of it. Yeah, exactly.
Get out of the UN and get that thing, just get it out of here. Get it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not doing anything good.
Useless.
Completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing an all-out global attack. I mean, this Durban conference they had in 2001, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Supposedly, it's supposed to be an anti-racism thing. And you show up to the conference, you're trying to play nice, and they make you the target of this conference and say that Israel is being racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. Listen, this is knowledge. You're being exposed so that you can not only know for yourself, but you can be like an Akaya Lee. We talked about and had a segment with Akaya Lee,
mm-hmm.
where she spoke in Washington, D.C. for Christians United for Israel, and she was able to speak, oh my goodness, with intelligence,
yeah.
with facts,
boldness.
with boldness and passion mm-hmm. for Israel. And it's going to take believers like that to be able to, listen, believe it or not, a lot of people don't know what's going on. I mean, just face the fact. Face the fact that a lot of people are caught up watching television programs or watching the latest reality program, and they don't know what's happening in the world, and you're going to have to tell them. You're going to have to tell them not only what's happening, but you're going to have to tell them God's perspective and how we need to, you know, approach the times in which we live in. And in particular, the Middle East. This is not going away. This is not going away. And if we can get the word out, like a KLE, we need more KLEs out there that are willing to stand bold on college campuses, at your workplaces, in your local communities, in your churches, to say, listen, I'm not going to stand by. I'm not going to stop by. Not again. Am I going to stand by and see the persecution of a people like that? Listen, the Holocaust was enough. It was enough. You know, I saw a recent article, and I hope that we can share this some more. We're coming close to the end of the extra hour. Listen, they were so evil. Talking about Hitler and his crew, they were so evil that they literally had this training school for women, how they can be the perfect Nazi wives. Okay, I mean, this is horrific. This just all came out recently. And they were actually, they had women that were birthing supposedly this Aryan nation. Mm-hmm. And they were just having children, just it was like a factory. I mean, this stuff is like, there's more unveiling. And I don't know the exact years that Hitler was in power, but I think it was close to a decade, either a little under or a little over a decade. And to see how much evil was done and established in such, really, and you talk about the scheme of life and history, in such a short amount of time. Let me tell you something. When the enemy is united, you need to be careful. Because they can accomplish things too. But I'll tell you that greater is he that's in you, greater is he that's in me, if you know Jesus Christ, than he that's in the world. And if we stand for God, stand for truth, and stand for Israel, let me tell you something. God will bless us. He will bless us. Those that bless Abraham will be blessed. Stand with Israel and understand that there is a real present evil that wants to wipe out Christians and the Jews.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.